At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, let's keep it moving. Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN. Joe Cirillo, Jared Smith. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else for 4 hours on this Saturday evening, Saturday afternoon, depending on what time zone you're in. Jared, it's time for an NFL Power Hour. We spent all of last weekend talking about the draft, line movement, the number two pick, everything leading up to it. Well, now I'd like to say it's over, but it's not. Man, day three is painfully long.
Yeah, I don't pay much attention to this day. Not that it doesn't matter. I just don't have the bandwidth to really understand it until we see, like, even the first round. And I think my biggest takeaway from every draft is I don't know. I have some thoughts about some teams that probably reached in some areas that I wouldn't reach. But who am I to really judge these kids before they take a snap? So there's some things I'm excited about. There's some things I'm like really like puzzled by. But especially after the first round, maybe after the second, third round, like today for sure, rounds 4 through 7, I just have to trust that these scouts and GMs know what they're doing, and then I will judge them as we get into the season and we see rosters develop and we see camps start to form and depth charts start to be put out and guys that are overachieving and underachieving. So right now it's all kind of sunshines and rainbows. Like everyone's excited about their players. Everyone's excited about their teams, except for I think one team.
I was going to say, maybe not Falcons fans.
Well, I don't know if we want to put the cart before the horse, but we have a winners and losers segment coming up that I was very blunt about with my thoughts on. And I think you look at this top 16 we're showing you here. I mean, let's be honest. Were there really any surprises in the top five? Like no. And all we heard was this team wants to trade up for this quarterback. It's too expensive, guys. It's too expensive to trade up for a quarterback. You saw the Texans trade up last year, but the Texans just drafted C.J. Stroud. So Monty Ossendorf knew that he wasn't going to give up a quarterback. He knew they were going after, you know, a defensive player. I don't think they told him who. I'm assuming he knew based off of where they were on the board. But to trade up for a quarterback, and I'm sure New England took calls. I'm sure New England wanted Jaden Daniels, didn't get Jaden Daniels, settled for Drake May. But New England's in a unique position. They've got Jacoby Brissett. They have a guy who can at least give them some run. And I think both guys at the top, not Caleb Williams, obviously he's going to be a starter day one, but I think both guys at the top in the second and third spots both got what they needed. Jaden Daniels, who had 5 years of experience, needed an offensive guru that could put him in the best position to win because the cupboard is kind of bare in Washington. But I think Daniels is really talented. And he has, again, 5 years of experience. He can start day one. Drake May's played for 3 years. So there's not a lot of meat on the bone there. He needed a steady hand, a good franchise, and a really talented or, I guess, really experienced backup quarterback or starter who's going to be the backup eventually to kind of show him the ropes in Jacoby Brissett. So I think both guys at the top outside of Caleb, I thought, you know, Daniels and May really ended up where they needed to go.
Yeah, I will say, when you talk about surprises in the top five, the Joe Alt pick is interesting because he's certainly a top five talent. In some years, could be a top one talent. But there was all that late steam and those late rumors on J.C. Latham going to the Chargers. He fits the scheme better. You know, they already have Slater, who's played both tackle spots. Latham's the hard-hitting, run-blocking right tackle that would, you know, work fabulously with Jim Harbaugh out here in SoCal. And they didn't take him. They went with Alt. They went with the guy who was the consensus number one offensive tackle, number one left tackle, certainly, on the board. And what did you think of that pick? Because I saw that, and my first thought is, yeah, it's typical Jim Harbaugh. Make everyone think you're going to do something crazy and not take the best offensive tackle on the board. Still a really good one in Latham. But then ultimately, at the end of the day, just take the 6'9 guy who looks like he grew up carrying lumber around in the Midwest his whole life. I mean, Joe Alt is the perfect embodiment of an offensive tackle.
I never understood the Latham stuff. He plays right tackle. The Chargers, like, why are you going to take a right tackle as the first tackle off the board? That's not the position that matters. The left tackle is the position. Like, Latham, I'm sure, can play left tackle, but he's never played left tackle before. He's a right tackle at Bama. He was a right tackle his whole career. He can kick inside to the guard position, but are you drafting in the top five the first offensive lineman off the board, a right tackle that can kick inside? Like, no. Like, you're taking the prototypical left tackle. Like, that's what you do with a premium pick in the top five. I thought Jim Harbaugh played his hand perfectly. He made people think he was perhaps taking Latham. Latham caught the most steam out of anyone on draft day. Like, Byron Murphy caught a lot of top 10 steam. That proved to be false. Latham caught a lot of top five first offensive lineman steam. That proved to be false. What's the lesson here, guys? The lesson is you don't chase steam on draft day. Here's the lesson. You figure out ways to think around the steam. So Brock Bowers took some steam, too, to go to the Jets. That was kind of groupthink. Your boy, Lijay Ducible, was right. The Jets
went spot on, man.
Spot on. He was wrong about some other things, too, but he was right about that.
What was that last part, Jared?
Well, he was wrong about some other stuff, but he was right about that. He was right about the Jets. He knows the Jets. He knows the Jets well. He knows the situation there in that clubhouse. And I think the Jets did what they had to do. Do I like the pick? No. I would have preferred Bowers. But I'm not the one, again, at this stage, I'm not tweeting, oh, I hate the Jets. Oh, my goodness. I'm just trusting Joe Douglas. Is that a mistake? Probably, because I've been burned by it before. But at this stage, that's all we can go off of because we're not in that room. There's a lot of judgments about you should take this guy, you should take this guy. Yeah, we can all have our opinions. But if that guy's not the pick, you need to be open-minded and try to understand why the team selected that person. There is only one selection on this screen right now where there is zero justification, none. And I think we all know what it is.
Well, we know what it is because I think we titled that segment that we're going to probably wrap the hour up with when we discuss winners and losers, winners, losers, and the Atlanta Falcons. So, I mean, because they're not even a loser to me. They're the loser. They're the biggest loser. So we can get into winners and losers and the debate portion of it all later in the hour because, you know, there might be some teams that come up that make the audience go, oh, wow, you know, that's a good point, or oh, I disagree with that. Everyone knows that the Falcons did something absolutely crazy. You know, they can't even be debated as to whether or not they are a loser. What they did was, it goes beyond loser. It's a clown show down there in Atlanta. So I think we have to address that top of the hour. I mean, Kirk Cousins guaranteed over $100 million over the next 2 years. Michael Penix is almost my age. Guy's going to be 24 in about 3 weeks. Did they really just draft a quarterback with a top 10 pick that is not going to play until he's 26, barring an injury to Kirk Cousins?
This video is incredible. This video is like, this video here that we are playing for the radio audience, it's the video of Terry Fontenot and Arthur Blank in the war room after the pick was made. And Terry Fontenot is giving them the, well, we're going to go here and then do this, and then this is why we did this. And then it, you know what it reminded me of? This is an homage, a tip of the cap to one of my favorite broadcasters growing up, Stuart Scott. What happened was, that's what this reminded me of, that video. Arthur Blank was like an old man at the diner that ordered matzo ball soup and they gave him split pea. And he's like, what do I do with this? This isn't what I ordered. I ordered the matzo ball soup. What are you doing here? And for those that don't know, I'm Jewish. Matzo ball soup's like my favorite thing in the world. Been to a lot of Jewish diners. My grandfather used to always, every single week. But to me, this pick, it might go down as the worst pick in the history of the NFL draft. It might not.
Because I love Penick.
I love him too, and it might not. Here's why it won't. Because Cousins screws up, gets hurt, doesn't recover, whatever. Then you can question the signing and say that's the worst signing in the history of the NFL, but the draft pick was actually smart. But one of the two things, either Cousins or Penix, will go down as the worst decision in recent NFL memory.
I wish that you could play that clip again.
We should. Yeah, we should keep it on a loop in my head.
Like an ad-lib voiceover of him explaining himself to Arthur Blank.
Like a bad lip reading?
Huh?
Like a bad lip reading?
Yeah, because there's nothing that you can say in that spot that would be logical. It's like you've got Fontenot telling him. So essentially, here's what's going on here. I'm not very good at my job. So I decided that since I probably gave Kirk Cousins a ridiculous contract that a guy who cannot play in primetime deserves, what we're going to do is we're going to play him Sundays at 1 p.m. And then Michael Penix is going to come in for Monday night and Sunday night game. And as long as we limit both of their exposure to the field, there's a less likely chance that they're going to get injured. So we're taking Penix here Sunday night. Boom, we're taking Cousins here now at 1 p.m. And boom, I sound like John Madden at this point.
Boom.
I
mean, there we go. Boom. We're going to seal here to seal there. Boom. I like that. More of that.
I mean, there's no way to make it make sense. He's essentially saying, I'm not good at my job, so I'm going to hedge against myself.
I'll try to make it make sense for you. Ready? This is what Terry Fontenot was thinking. Because he said it after the – like, he came out and said it. He not only made the decision, I give him credit for that. He made the decision, and then he had the guts afterwards to come out and explain his boneheaded logic. Terry, this is the worst logic in the history of time. I don't understand this logic. The logic was, oh, well, you know, the goal is that he doesn't play for 3 years. Wait, what? What?
What?
Well, okay, so let me get this straight, Terry. You just spent the 8th pick on a guy that you hope doesn't play for 3 years? I understand why you would do that on the 26th pick, which is what Jordan Love was selected. Oh, by the way, Jordan Love was 21 years old when he was taken in that draft, and he was replacing, not for a while, a guy that had already won a Super Bowl and had been in Green Bay for nearly a decade. You are replacing a book that has not been opened yet in Kirk Cousins. There is no logic there. None.
It's the most bizarre thing ever. Essentially, Michael Penix Jr. is going to be signed up for AARP by the time he gets a snap week one in the NFL. It's the most... You can't justify it. Any way you try to, you can't justify it. Let's see if my buddy Joe DeLeon can. We're talking more NFL draft when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Live Bet Saturday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't already, make sure you head over to VSiN.com right now. Check out our great exclusive articles like Adam Burke's Daily Baseball Winners. Exclusive articles, betting splits, betting tools, and more. Make sure you get it all at VSiN.com. Joe Cirillo, Jared Smith here, taking you through this Live Bet Saturday. The draft is officially over. It only took about 17 hours today, but the draft is officially over. So we're going to hit our progressive guest line and talk about it with my good friend, NFL, college football, FCS football expert, my buddy Joe DeLeon. Joe, how are you, man? All right, we're gonna fix those technical issues with Joe. Jared, obviously, great stuff to wrap up the last bit with Michael Penix over there and whatever's going on.
Yeah, let's keep ragging on the Falcons until Joe comes back.
I mean, can we just like try to figure out what they're doing? Raheem Morris, I think
there's no logic.
He's a talented coach, but I mean, the guy is a defensive expert, right? Like him as a head coach, the jury is still out a bit. He's had a couple opportunities, hasn't fully made the most of them all. But I mean, when you're just drafting repetitively, like the Falcons, they've got skill players. They've got a good receiver room, and I'll throw Kyle Pitts into that receiver room. They've got two electric running backs. Build them up in the trenches. Give them some D to work with. I mean, it makes no sense. I feel like they're setting him up for failure. I can't say he's going to be a successful head coach in Atlanta based on the tools he's been given.
By the way, Mr. Irrelevant, the Jets selected Alabama defensive back Jalen Key. Of course, recent Mr. Irrelevance have been noteworthy, so just wanted to pass that note along. Here's the thing. We'll finish with this. I hope we get Joe back at some point during the segment because I obviously want his thoughts about this too. The thing that made it worse, I didn't think it could get any worse for what the Falcons did. It got worse. Because in the second round, they traded away two picks to Atlanta. Or to Arizona, excuse me, moved up and took the Clemson defensive tackle, who was, I think, the second or third highest defensive tackle on the board.
Yeah, meanwhile, Newton's on the board. And everyone, I mean, if you're going to go that position, which obviously they needed help in the trenches, O-line, I mean, defense, you could really say anywhere in the front seven, they could use a little help. And they pass on Newton, going D-tackle and leaving a force like Newton on the board, only for Washington to scoop him up. What did they do? Next pick, two picks later, the Commanders scooped him up. I mean, you got the position right, but you got the guy wrong.
Well, yeah. Well, no, the reason that it, like, that to me was irrelevant. The reason that it was the mistake was because you could have taken Byron Murphy at 8, right, who I think at 16 to Seattle was an absolute steal. The only reason he fell that far is because none of those other teams in that low teen 10 to 15 window play that scheme where they need a beef-eating nose. But the Seahawks do. So do the Falcons. Now, the Falcons are a little more multiple, and I think it made sense for them to, you know, I don't know. Let's go back to Joe. Joe,
try to make sense of what happened with the Falcons here, because I'll be honest, I don't think there's any logic that could really explain what they did at 8 on Thursday night.
Yeah, that pick to me was really perplexing, and I was so confused on why they thought that the 8th overall selection was the spot for them to go quarterback. I would have thought that if they had traded back into the end of the first round, it would have been a really stellar decision, because you get Michael Penix on a fifth-year contract. You get the opportunity to let him sit behind Kirk Cousins, but you're a team that just spent all this money on getting a potential franchise quarterback for the next 4 years who has a four-year deal. You need to put yourself in a position to win now. And they should have taken one of the available edge rushers, one of the available defensive backs in order to get there. This whole draft class that they have, honestly, this might be a year. This could be a year that gets Terry Fontenot fired. The whole class that they had was very underwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, Fontenot, we already saw him pleading for his job minutes after making the pick. Makes you wonder why the heck he made the pick. Joe, great to have you on, my man. You mentioned the idea of Atlanta, if they wanted Penix so badly, maybe trying to trade back into the first round, but doing what they should have done with the 8th pick. Let's talk about a team that did make some deals in the back of the first round to get their guy, the Kansas City Chiefs. They seem to get what they need every draft, despite picking somewhere in the 29 to 32 range every year. Are the Chiefs your big winner? What do you love that Kansas City did this year?
Yeah, I think that they're my second biggest winner this year. And I think that every single draft, there's a reason why the Kansas City Chiefs are always back in the Super Bowl. Obviously, it's because they've got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. But they put together consistently rosters around them that is talent-rich. It's got really good depth. And they never overthink any of their drafting decisions. They traded up to go and get Xavier Worthy, who I'm not totally in love with that selection, but for the landing of where he goes, it's a perfect fit because he's so fast. He is going to be such a threat over the top of defenses. He needs to be a little bit more consistent with his hands for me to really, really love the pick. It might not be a guy who's a 1,500-yard receiver, but he could be a very, very good 900-yard, 1,000-yard guy for a couple of years in this league, for a few seasons in the NFL. But the rest of their picks, I love that they went and got Kingsley Sola-Matea from BYU as developmental tackle, could start for them this year or in the near future. They needed to figure out their right tackle situation. I'm obsessed with the fact, though, that they ended up with Jared Wiley in the third round, the tight end out of TCU, who is very, very quick linearly, is going to be able to attack you up the seam. We know that Travis Kelce is only going to be around for probably only a couple more years. He is starting to get up there in age. And this season, we kind of started to see him losing a gear. I wouldn't be shocked if by next season, Wiley doesn't end up becoming one of the more productive tight ends in the NFL.
So I'll be honest, Joe. I think there are certain teams that I don't want to overreact to positive drafts because, again, we said this to start the hour. Like, we're just guessing what these teams were trying to do, and then we see what they actually did, and then we try to make sense of it. And I think it's too early for us to really judge anything. But I saw your note to our producer, Caesar, about the drafts that you liked, and I hadn't really dug into a couple of them yet, and I clicked on Cincinnati, and I went through their list, and I'm now scared for the rest of the AFC North because I do believe that this Bengals team, if they're healthy at the quarterback position next year, are due for a big bounce back. And the draft that they had on paper, it looks really good. They filled every need, and they got a couple players, especially the tight end from Iowa, who, I don't know, Iowa's ever had any good tight ends, maybe. There's some players that they took today that I thought are interesting as well. Grade the Bengals draft and, what it means for them as they try to get back on track next season.
Yeah, they're one of the few teams that I'd be willing to throw out an A for because of the way that they re-geared up in order for them to stay in the playoff conversation, the AFC North conversation. Assuming Joe Burrow is healthy, they needed to figure out what they were doing at tight end and at defensive tackle, and they were aggressive in getting two guys at both positions. Chris Jenkins from Michigan is a space-eating monster, and then McKinley Jackson, bit of a similar build, but has such a great first step that they got at pick 34 in the third round. He was my second rated defensive tackle. I had a feeling that the NFL might not be as high on him, but he is going to be a wrecker in the middle of that defense. I did really like Jermaine Burton being that speed option for them amongst a receiving group that's got a lot of really consistent good route runners. He can be a really nice deep threat for that offense. And as we mentioned here with the tight end, Eric All from Iowa, underrated player, not super productive, but I am in love with the fact that they got Tanner McLaughlin from Arizona. It reminds me of last year when the Packers took two tight ends and then Tucker Kraft, who was the second one, ended up being the more productive of the two. And Tanner McLaughlin, very similar play style, decent blocker, needs to improve there, but really underrated athlete, really shifty in space, and is a great, great route runner. So I think that McLaughlin could end up becoming that tight end one in that offense in a couple of years.
Wow.
He's NFL draft analyst Joe DeLeon on the Progressive guest line right now. Joe, last question for you before we wrap it up. I talk about the Chiefs doing Kansas City things, seemingly getting the guy that they need late in the first round every year. Another team that does that better than anyone, the Baltimore Ravens. This, you know, we look at it and say it was a very Chiefs draft. It was a very Ravens draft to me. What do you make of the Ravens draft? And, you know, a team that could still maybe stand in the way of the Bengals in that AFC North.
Yeah, the Ravens, frustratingly for every other NFL team, fans of every other NFL team out there, they're one of those teams that just sit, they stay patient, they wait, and they see what value's on the board while other teams are maybe overthinking, oh, we need to get this guy before this team gets them. And that overthink didn't happen as they landed Nate Wiggins, who was my number one rated corner. He's 6'2". He ran a 4.28 40-yard dash. Imagine that speed playing in a defense that's already the best in the NFL amongst guys like Kyle Hamilton. That is going to be dangerous. But they also ended up with TJ Tampa, the corner from Iowa State, who's tall, long. He's very physical. He's going to be a nice opposite player to go on the opposite side of the field than Nate Wiggins. And then Roger Rosengarten, the last guy that I really love, who is going to be potentially their starting right tackle this upcoming year.
Joe, appreciate the insight, man. A lot of fun stuff to talk about from this weekend's NFL draft. But we're not going to stop talking about it. Don't go anywhere. It's Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN, presented by DraftKings. I'm Joe Cirillo. He's Jared Smith. And let's hit the Progressive guest line for our guy, Cody Carpentier, NFL draft analyst from Roster Watch. Cody, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, man. 257 picks in the books. I cannot believe we just got through that thing, man. Streaming for, I think it was about 14, 15 hours, man. How you guys doing?
And we're great.
We're great, man. It sounds like you've been working hard. Your voice still sounds good, though. Your voice still sounds good. Let's head to those Philadelphia Eagles because, you know, I mean, obviously we're going to look at winners and losers from the draft as a whole. But when you talk about filling a need early, Quinyon Mitchell and then Cooper DeJean somehow falling to them in the second round. I believe it was, what, the eighth pick of the second round. I mean, this was a guy who almost everyone had going somewhere in the 20s. Yet he falls right into Philly's lap at 40. What do you make of the Eagles draft, and how did they manage to get Cooper? How did this fall happen?
This is just Howie Roseman. I mean, you could think back to last year when Jalen Carter fell to them at 9. They're in there at 30 with Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith and the guy from Georgia that was projected to go top 15. Philadelphia just continues to do this. Howie Roseman hammered this entire draft top to bottom. Quinyon Mitchell, man, should have been a top 10 pick. We projected him to be drafted in the 9, 10, 11 area with Philadelphia trading up to get him. Just that's the best DB in the draft, point blank, period. Being able to bring him in there with Darius Slay and James Bradbury, I think, is almost Nail's best addition you could have had in Philadelphia. And then you bring up Cooper DeJean, man. Eighth pick overall in the second round. Cooper DeJean was my 22nd best player coming out of Iowa. He had some lower body injuries as a worry coming through, 6'1", 202 pounds, but he did perform at his pro day, ran a 4.45. Like I thought he checked the boxes. Now, again, we're in a spot where we don't get to see the medicals. When you're on the media side, when you're on the analyst side, you hear some of the things come through, some of the things you don't. You know, Brendan Rice today fell to the seventh round. We don't know exactly what was into that thing that made him fall, but Cooper DeJean falling to the eighth pick in the second round is just a sick value. And, again, you have James Bradbury and Darius Slay, two DBs, two great cornerbacks that have fallen the last year and a half, 2 years as starters, and they've come back down to earth. Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean allows the Eagles to take that step back forward in depth.
Yeah, Cody, I think Philly is, you know, they are like Howie Roseman was just like wheeling and dealing in this draft. So it's going to be really interesting to see
how that one crystallizes for them. Let's get to the other team in the Keystone State. I'll be honest, I don't want to say easiest, but one of the most obvious selections in the first round was on the odds board was the Steelers to take an offensive lineman. I think it closed at like minus 400. So what do they do in the first round? Well, they take who I think might be the best offensive lineman in this draft, or at least has a chance to be near the top, the kid from Washington, Fatano. And then later on in the draft, I really like the Roman Wilson pick and Peyton Wilson. It's like they had a thing for Wilsons in this draft. But Peyton Wilson from NC State really flashed in his time there in Raleigh. So it looks like Pittsburgh got a lot tougher in the trenches in this one.
Pittsburgh's close for me, but Philadelphia is the easy one, right, given Howie the A-plus in this draft. But Pittsburgh's got to be right behind them, if not right a touch ahead of them. Fatanu, a guy that can play left guard, left tackle out of Washington. The versatility that he brings to this offense is going to allow them to kind of move these guys around and shake them. Zach Frazier in the second round, a guy that, you know, coming into the draft the last week and a half, we heard Zach Frazier's name mentioned in round one. He falls to the 19th pick in round two, a great value. You mentioned Roman Wilson. I thought Roman Wilson in round two was the slam dunk. Pittsburgh's shown us that they're ready to do this. They've shown us that they want to take receivers in round two. Instead, they wait until round three. They get Roman Wilson, a guy that's going to come in there and replace Deontay Johnson one for one. And I think Roman Wilson's a better receiver for this offense than is Deontay Johnson. Peyton Wilson, there's no ACL there, but this is a top 40 player in the NFL draft falling. They've been trying to replace this middle linebacker position since Shazier left with his injury, you know, 5-6 years ago. Devin Bush wasn't the answer. I think Peyton Wilson, as long as he can stay healthy, is. And you can keep on going down. Mason McCormick, small school guy at South Dakota State. Another interior guy that you can just plug in and work him in. Logan Lee from Iowa, depth piece. Ryan Watts, super athletic, super long cornerback out of Texas. Top to bottom, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers got an A-plus and destroyed this draft.
Yeah, and you look at that Pittsburgh Steelers graphic that just popped on your screen if you're watching us at home. Over under 8.5 wins. I mean, death, taxes, and Mike Tomlin finishing with a winning record. I wouldn't think twice about it. Close your eyes and press the over. Now, the Steelers addressed their need for a receiver in the draft. Let's see if they do anything else to address that now as the offseason progresses. They've been linked to Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers. A lot of murmurs coming out of the Niners camp. Cody, Ayuk, Deebo Samuel. There might be some movement. They took Ricky Pearsall with the 31st overall pick. What are your thoughts on Pearsall? I thought it was a bit of an overdraft there. What do you think about him going to San Fran and what this means for the Niners the rest of the offseason?
This is going to be very interesting to see what the Niners do because they also added Jacob Cowling in the fourth round at wide receiver from Arizona. And this guy, he proved that he can give you high-end output. Jacob Cowling can. A guy that kind of emulates a little bit of Tank Dell, who we saw explode last year out of Houston, went to Houston to play with C.J. Stroud. So they got a couple weapons here. Ricky Pearsall, 4'4", 140. He's going to play predominantly in the slot at 6'1", 190 pounds. It's going to be interesting, really, over the course of the next, I would say, couple weeks, if San Francisco decides to move on from Brandon Ayuk instead of paying him $27 to $29 million, or if they're going to move on from that Deebo Samuel contract and shift the change in this offense from, yeah, maybe Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle. You can do a lot of the things you can do with Deebo with Christian. Christian McCaffrey, but you can do a lot of those things that Deebo can do with Christian McCaffrey, bringing in an athletic running back like Isaac Grendo. We might see a shift change in this offense if they decide to move on from Deebo Samuel.
All right, Cody. We're going to have a therapy session here for the Atlanta Falcons and their fans. So I think this decision might not be the worst decision that the Falcons have ever made, but one of the last two big decisions will be. Like, there's either one outcome here. Either Kirk Cousins was the worst signing ever and you gave him $100 million for nothing, or Michael Penix Jr. is the dumbest draft pick in the history of draft picks. One of those things has to be true. What's your opinion on what took place Thursday night with the Falcons?
I mean, I think our man Michael Lombardi said it best. Kaiser Soze is running this thing. they did this thing all backwards. They did this completely backwards. I asked my buddy when we were doing this stream, man, Michael Penix had 8, and you take Ruka Roro with third pick in the second round,
yeah.
Take Dorless with the 9th pick in the fourth round. Two very good defensive tackles. Or hear me out, you take Byron Murphy,
yes,
the best free tech in the draft.
Exactly.
And you plug him in there with Grady Jarrett. You take a Roro if you want him there with the third pick in the second round, and you can come back with a Spencer Rattler in the fourth round and actually groom a quarterback that makes logical sense with value.
Bingo.
In the fourth round.
Bingo.
When you even hindsight, it doesn't matter. It never made sense to do this. And if you were going to do it in the first place, like Lombardi said, you don't pay Cousins the money.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, it's leaving everyone baffled right now, whatever the heck is going on in Atlanta's camp. Cody, you got some other interesting classes out here. Now, look, 32 teams, it's a lot to be on top of every single prospect, all 257 of them that go off the board. But whether it's Carolina neglecting some needs in the trenches, the Chargers and their first draft with Jim Harbaugh as the head coach in L.A., maybe what the Bears did. What else? The Colts certainly intrigued me a lot, their first two picks specifically. What else jumped off the board at you, any of those teams I made, or I just named, rather? Anyone else that hasn't been named that you see as a team that kind of had a sleeper draft?
I think the Bills could kind of be looked at as a sleeper. They ended up taking away more picks than I expected. I think they ended up with 10 here. They moved down twice in round one, and it was kind of weird to see at the end of day one them move down with the Chiefs and allow the Chiefs to take Xavier Worthy. It's not like Buffalo did not have Xavier Worthy as high on their board, obviously. They ended up taking Keon Coleman with the first pick in the second round. You know, people hate the all-time comps, but when you look at Keon Coleman and how he plays, I know he ran a 4.61, but also a 4.64 came from Terrell Owens a good 15, 20 years ago, coming out of UT Chattanooga. The play style lines up with the Terrell Owens. The play style also lines up with the Cedric Tillman. So there's your high-end, low-end comp. Mm. Cedric Tillman came from Tennessee a couple years ago. I like Keon Coleman in this alpha situation here. He was the one alpha left on day two that could go into an offense to take over in year number one. I love the Keon Coleman landing spot here in Buffalo to take over in that spot. And then also later on, Dwayne Carter from Duke, a one-tech, three-tech that can play on day one next to Ed Oliver in this Buffalo defense, and Ray Davis. He's 24 and a half years old. He's going to be 25 when the season starts, from Kentucky, fourth-round pick at the running back position. He should have three 1,000-yard rushing seasons in college at three different schools. Ray Davis should. And he's going to come in here and play next to James Cook. They've been trying to fill this running back role next to Devin Singletary, now next to James Cook. It's been Zach Moss. It's been Latavius Murray. You name it. You know, they brought in Leonard Fournette for a week last year. Ray Davis is the guy they're going to plug in next to him, and Ray Davis is going to be a very good 1-2 punch next to James Cook.
Last 30 seconds. Oh, no, go ahead.
Sorry, Jared, no.
No, I was going to say last 30 seconds. Give me the team that you like the most in this draft, you know, in 10 words or less, Cody.
Oh, man. I honestly, the quiet one. I think Green Bay. Green Bay, we knew coming in, it wasn't going to be shiny. You're going to get any big names here, but Jordan Morgan at tackle. They bring him in from Arizona, the last tackle to go. Second to last tackle to go in round one there. Edgerick Cooper, a first-round talent at linebacker. Marshawn Lloyd from USC. Just a bunch of dogs in Green Bay.
And maybe some drama in Green Bay. Michael Pratt, is he coming for Jordan Love's job the way Jordan Love came for Aaron Rodgers' job? Cody, thanks so much for the time, man.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
We'll be back. Winners and losers next. Live Bet Saturday on VSiN. Don't go anywhere.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps, in the Angie app or clicks on the site. You can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook's got you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code VSiN. New customers who do that, bet $5, you'll get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSiN, only on DraftKings, where, of course, the crown is yours. We're about to crown some winners and losers. It's been the NFL Draft Power Hour right here. Live Bet Saturday, Joe Cirillo, Jared Smith, taking you through everything, the good, the bad, and the Atlanta Falcons from this weekend's NFL Draft. Jared, let's talk winners. We've spent so much time harping on the Falcons, whether it's, you know, ordering the matzo ball soup and getting split pea, or ad-libbing Fontenot begging Arthur Blank not to fire him immediately after his first draft pick of the 2024 draft. Let's talk about some bright sides here. How about a winner for this weekend's draft?
Well, I made a joke. So I'll pull back the curtain here. Everyone loves seeing the behind the scenes of how the shows are produced. So our crack producer, Caesar, does a fantastic job getting this stuff together every week. He sent us a text a few hours ago. He's like, hey, send me your winners and losers for the draft. I'll make a graphic. I'm like, hey, oh, this is a great idea. And then I was like, all right, how can we make it funny? How can we make it entertaining? So frankly, my one winner for this draft is everybody not named the Falcons, because no matter what, and hold up, this isn't just a dig at the Falcons. There's logic behind this, unlike the Falcons' decision to take Michael Penix. The logic behind this is, no matter how bad your draft was, it will fly under the radar because of how bad the Falcons' draft was. And the first team that comes to mind is the Broncos, who also, this draft will be studied for years. The quarterbacks, how they went, the discourse, the sequence, and of course the result, 6 out of the first 12 picks. But you saw the jockeying for position after Penix was taken at 10 to Minnesota, because the Jets had the 10th pick, and there was not a breath in the universe that was ever going to have them taking J.J. McCarthy. That was never going to happen. And I am willing to bet that there was nobody that wanted to trade up for J.J. McCarthy. Why? Because the Patriots were trying to get people to trade up to take McCarthy third, but nobody wanted him, because nobody wants J.J. McCarthy in the top 5, because unlike our friend Jim Harbaugh, who tried to sell us on him being the number one pick in this draft, he's not a top 5 quarterback. He's just not. So the 10th pick with the Jets was really intriguing to me. The Jets did the old switcheroo. They called Minnesota, and they said, hey, we got people on the phone. They want J.J. You got to come up and get him. If you want him, you're behind us at 11. Give us a pick. Minnesota was like, all right, screw it. So good on the Jets for taking advantage of that. But also, it showed the hand of the Vikings. And to go back to your original question, the Vikings are a winner in this draft, because they actually did it the right way. They let Cousins walk. They let Hunter walk. What do they do in the draft? Quarterback. Edge rusher.
Bam. Yep.
Bingo.
That's kind of what you have to do.
It ain't rocket science, people. And sometimes these teams, Terry Fontenot, try to get too smart to outsmart the system. We're going to draft our replacement before the actual starter takes a snap. There was a joke on Twitter Thursday night that the Falcons are seriously considering Spencer Rattler in the third round as the replacement one day to Michael Penix Jr. Like, right. To me, that is how
delusional the logic was. So back to the original question, Vikings, despite the fact that they kind of got bamboozled by the Jets for a late round pick, I thought approached it the right way. But the loser of this draft is the Falcons, and the winner is everybody not named the Falcons, because no matter how bad your draft was, it will not get that much attention because of how bad the Falcons draft was.
And to Minnesota's credit there, it's like you said, it's not rocket science. You have a need, you fill the need. Now, every now and then, there's going to be a rare instance where there's just a player on the board who is too good to pass up, and there's a freak athlete, and he might be versatile. But for the most part, you have a need. Fill it with the best guy available. For the Falcons, it could have been Dallas Turner. It could have been Byron Murphy. I love Michael Penix. I tweeted my QB rankings 1-6 of the six guys that went ultimately in the first round. Penix was my QB3 on that list. And he's got a ceiling as high as Caleb or Jaden Daniels. But because of the medicals, I ranked him at third. That right there to Atlanta. If Vegas was picking eighth, I'd love the pick. Eighth to Atlanta, it's inexcusable. But let's talk about some winners. We've got the graphic. I think Caesar's got it ready to go. I talk about having a need and filling the need. The Philadelphia Eagles are my biggest winner because they filled the need times two. And we talked about it with Cody moments ago. Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Darius Slay, and James Bradbury. They're two great cornerbacks who frankly did not have great years, did not really even have a good year this past season. Philly's secondary was absolutely its weakness. So what did Howie and company do? They went out and they addressed the secondary. And whether that means both DeJean and Mitchell playing corner or DeJean moving to safety, regardless, they addressed the secondary and they got tremendous value getting, you know, Mitchell, I'm surprised he was even on the board, but that's what 14 offensive guys in a row to start the draft will do to you. And then DeJean being there at 40, let alone, you know, I mean, the Eagles' initial pick could have likely been Cooper DeJean. Him being there at 40 and then being able to double down, tremendous drafting. And then, Jared, I want to talk about the Bears for a little bit. We talked about KC earlier in the hour and just getting their guy. It was really receiver and O-tackle what they needed. They got them both first two rounds. But when you look at the Chicago Bears, I feel like oftentimes no one wants to call the team with the first pick a winner because, you know, obviously they had the first pick. They had their pick of guys. But when you look at not just the actual pick of Caleb Williams, what they've done around him to set him up for success, something that frankly ticks me off, Justin Fields was never afforded that luxury. The Bears never set Justin Fields up for success. But now Caleb, they take him at one. They take Odunze at nine. He comes into an already studded receiver room. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet at tight end. He's got some great running backs there. I mean, the reason I want to call the Bears a winner is not just because they took Caleb, but because they also set him up for success.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I think there's a lot of, you know, GM discourse that they didn't really want to give Justin Fields a ton of help because they knew that the regime coming in didn't pick Justin and they really wanted to move on from him. So yeah. I understand why there maybe wasn't as much put around him last year as they maybe should have. But to be fair, I think the Bears really built the team the right way. Last year, they built the defense. Last year, they figured out a way to get their defense into the top 10, top 15 unit. I mean, it was a really impressive defense the back half of the year. And then they addressed the quarterback position when the timing was right. They had the number one pick. The generational talent was coming out. Heisman Trophy winner, blah, blah, blah. Caleb Williams, awesome. Everything's hunky-dory. And then they addressed the rest of the team. I didn't love them taking a punter in the fourth round this year. But again, they only had five.
It's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, but again, it goes back to my point from the earlier parts of the draft. Like, I am not in a position to go through with a fine-tooth comb and pick apart all of these picks. I don't have that knowledge that these teams do. They were in the room. They know the schemes. They know what they want. It's almost like a shopping list. For example, if you were going – this is a Bill Parcells 101. If you want me to cook the meal, I want to also shop for the groceries. Like – all of the post-draft winners, losers, this team is improved. It's all us trying to cook the meal when we didn't shop for the groceries. We were given the groceries, and then we have to try to piece them together. It, to me, is a clunky time for the NFL analysis regime because everyone that is analyzing these draft classes is looking at it from the outside in, and we have no real
you know, vibe on some of these kids. Like maybe Torrey Taylor, the punter from Iowa, is like the perfect, and I don't know, like what's the justification? Usually you're not going to hear about why a team is really excited about a fourth round punter, but it's the perfect example about why I agree on paper, on the surface, I think the Bears top of the draft looks very good, but let's see how Adunes and Williams mesh together. Let's see if maybe they should have taken Byron Murphy at 9 because the Bears can't stop the run for the first half of the year. Let's see if the defense continues to play. So there's a lot of incomplete grades, I think, is the point of this stuff. And while it's very good fodder to talk about on these shows, I struggle with making clear-cut distinctions on these teams based solely on the draft. There might be other factors that make me have an opinion, but yeah, the Bears had 2 of the top 9 picks. If they didn't have a good draft, there's big problems.
Right. If they didn't have a good draft there, then you got to redo the front office for how many times in the last decade? Real quick, another team, obviously the Falcons are the big loser. It's why I said the good, the bad, and the Falcons. But another team I didn't love, the New England Patriots. Jared Mayo's first draft there. Drake May. Jared, did you catch Bill Belichick's assessment of Drake May? It wasn't too encouraging.
I did, but we'll talk about it on the other side. I would not take that at face value. I know we have Johnny Lazarus coming up on next, but when we get to more draft stuff, that didn't really turn me off too much from Drake.
I thought it was interesting, but we're going to hit the ice with you. Don't go anywhere. It's Live Bet Saturday. We're only halfway over. Stay tuned to Visa.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.